Following is the President's speech at Pueblo, Colorado, Monday, September 20th, 1948.
Let the President get up here, Miss Crystal. President, will you get up here so I can introduce all my cards?
Thank you. Mr. Rickley?
Yes.
Mr. Organ?
Present.
Mr. Benison?
Yes,
sir. Mr. Rillo, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Mr. George White, have a steel worker?
Present.
James Watson? These are all steel workers.
Welcome to
the
Capitol.
John Brisk,
sir.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Hello, McCavish.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hi,
sir. Happy Mandusa from Steel.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, McCavish.
Nice to meet you.
Jack Thomas?
Nice to meet you.
James Dean. Mr. Fred Hardy. Jim Hardy, right?
Mr. Jim Hardy.
That's a good record.
Nice to see
you. Mr. Warmack, another steel worker.
Nice to see you.
Mr. Cogley, another steel
worker.
Nice
to meet you.
And this is Mr. Bloomquist from the railroad.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Governor Nelson, Senator Johnson, I am most happy to be in this great city of Pueblo. I've been here many a time. One of the times I was here was a very, very sad one. I was here at the funeral of Alva Adams, one of the great senators from Colorado. He was my personal friend. I was very fond of him. And he made history while he was in the Senate. I hope that Pueblo will always stay in the Democratic column. I understand that you've almost doubled your population in the last 10 years. And that wasn't by accident. It was because the Democrats in power in Washington were able to help you improve your conditions here. You know, Pueblo is the site of one of the greatest labor controversies that ever took place in the history of the country. And as a result of that controversy, and the Pullman strike in Chicago and the Homestead Steel strike in Pittsburgh, labor began to come into its own. And when Franklin Roosevelt was elected President of the United States, we got a Bill of Rights for Labor. That was in 1935 that Bill of Rights became effective, known as the Wagner Act. 13 years ago. Well, in 1946, labor stayed at home, didn't vote. And a lot of other people stayed at home, didn't vote, because only one-third of the people who were entitled to vote in 1946 did vote. And we got the 80th Congress. The first thing that 80th Congress did Now, I've vetoed it three times. It took three times to get it. I vetoed it three times. They passed a rich man's tax bill. They began to line their own pockets. The next thing they did was to take some of the freedom away from labor. That famous Taft-Hartley Act. Well, now, you're faced with a situation. As I told you a while ago, you thought you wanted a change in 1946. You got it. You got that rich man's tax bill, and you got the Taft-Hartley Act. I wonder if you want to go any further with that sort of change.
Yeah.
All right, if you don't, on November the 2nd, you better get out and vote.
Yes!
You better get out and vote, and you better elect a Democratic senator and a Democratic congressman from this district.
Yes, Mr. Taylor.
And, well, if you do that, you can't help but elect the president because he's on the ticket and ahead of it. There are a lot of other things besides those two things which I've just called to your attention. One of them is reclamation and irrigation. The Reclamation Act was passed about 30 years ago. Not much was done about it until you elected the Democratic administration in 1932, and then things began to happen. And since that time, more than 5 million acres have been put to work that otherwise would be desert by the Democratic policies, and more than 90,000 farms have been put under conservation as a result of that policy. Now, you've got a great project here in this neighborhood known as the Gunnison, Arkansas Project. That project's carried out. It won't be carried out if the Republicans have their way. And if you let them have their way, that'll be your fault. If that project's carried out, that one project will create more power by 10 or 15 times than is used, or 22 times, I think. 22 times as much power as is used right here in Pueblo. That'll mean more industries for this part of the world. It'll mean more desert land under cultivation. It'll mean prosperity for this part of the West. And that's what the Democratic administrations have stood for. The welfare of the common people. And the big interests don't like that. They're interested in their own special privileges. And if you stand around on election day and let them get away with it, you'll get just exactly what you deserved, as you did in 1946. You'll get a Republican administration that's interested in the real estate lobby, that's interested in the power lobby, that's interested in the grain speculators lobby, and a dozen others that someday I'm going to name to you and tell just how much money they spent in Washington on this do-nothing 80th Congress. It's most interesting. The public interest was not looked after one little bit after that Congress went into effect. I could stand here and talk to you for an hour and tell you what they didn't do that they ought to have done, and tell you what they did do that they should not have done. But you all know it. I don't have to tell you. Now, use your judgment. Keep the people in control of the government who work for your interest, the interest of the common people, and who are not working for the special interests. For the campaign funds subscribed by the big interests for the Republican campaign, well, I'd say a very small part of it would make the Democrats the happiest people in the world. You know, we never do have any money. I've been told that when a man gets as much as $1,000 in his pocket, he votes the Republican ticket. Some of those $1,000 fellows and some of these farmers are finding out that their best interest is with the Democratic Party, whether they have $1,000 or $100,000. And they better keep that in mind. I do appreciate most highly your courtesy to me and the courtesy of your governor and the public officials who've been so kind to me all day today. I've had a grand time in Denver. We had a crowd about half this big in Colorado Springs, but Colorado Springs not as big as Pueblo, or I guess the crowd would have been bigger. And I can't tell you, as I say, how much I appreciate all these courtesies. Makes me feel good that I've taken the effort to come out here and tell you just exactly what the issues are. I hope you'll study the speech I made in Des Moines, Iowa Saturday, and the one I made in Denver this morning. You will find that the interests of the common people are at stake. And I'm trying to look after the fellow who has to work for a living, either on the farm, or as a laboring man, or as a white-collar worker. I don't think you'll find anybody in the Republican Party that's very much interested in the welfare of those people. I wonder how you'd like to meet my family. Well, I'm going to ask Ms. Truman to come out and speak to you first. Just say hello to you. Hello. My daughter Margaret.